Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a new edition of the Road to Indy Insider. My name is Rob Howden, the voice of the Road to Indy presented by Cooper Tires, and getting ready to start something really cool here in 2022, an evolution, if you will, for the Road to Indy. It's always been USF 2000, Indy Pro 2000, and of course, Indy Lights, that road to get yourself up to the NTT IndyCar Series. But for 2022, a new development level being brought in by Dane Anderson and the crew at Anderson Promotions. USF Juniors, they'll use the Lige car this year with the Honda power plant, a brand new Tatis coming out for 2023. But we're looking at almost 20 drivers lining up for the opening round of the USF Juniors program at the Ozarks International Raceway in just over a week's time. And as we've been doing throughout this preseason and getting into the season now, talking to a bunch of the drivers who are involved in the program, one very exciting prospect, of course, is Nick DiOrlando, 19 years of age. He'll run with DC Autosport with Cape Motorsports this year in USF Juniors. Just celebrated his birthday last week. Again, as I said, 19 years of age. If you're a Road to Indy fan, you know that last name. You know the surname, DiOrlando. Michael DiOrlando, of course, has been one of the top drivers in USF 2000 in the last couple of years, a race winner. Will be contending for the championship this year as well. But let's welcome in Nick first. Thank you so much for joining me, man. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. It was a good weekend last week. Michael helped set up a fun event, and a bunch of me and my buddies went to go play some outdoor laser tag.
Nice. Yeah. I love it. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it was great.
So, again, we can play back and forth between you and Michael. I've known you guys for a long time through coming up through karting. We do these podcasts so people can find out who you are, right? Get to know Nick DiOrlando a little bit. Let's talk just briefly about your karting career. You did a lot of karting. You raced nationally. And eventually, which I think is obviously very cool, not a lot of kids get to do this. You had a chance to go over and run in the European Karting Championship, the CIK program, with Kart Republic, which is one of the primary and successful chassis manufacturers. Now, talk a little bit about when you first started karting. How old were you when you first got into it?
So the first day I sat in a go-kart, I was 5.
Wow.
My brother was 6 at our home track, Oakland Valley Race Park up in New York. We kind of started out just doing it for fun. And then as we turned, it was 7 and 8 or 8 and 9, we tried our first national event, and something just clicked in our minds. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
I like it.
Our parents were super happy about that, obviously. But it was good. We definitely enjoyed it. We were good at it. So we turned 8 and 9, we started to go into international events and national events, like the Florida Winter Tour.
Yep.
Even SCUSA events when we were a little bit older. In the Micromax and Minimax categories. And then once Michael and I started bringing home, our first championship and race wins nationally, we continued at that. And then finally, I can't remember what year it was. I think it was 2016. Michael got lucky enough that he could go race for Burrell Art as a factory driver for them. Over in Europe for the CIK FIA championships and the WSK championships. So he got to go do that first. I raced here for another year as a factory driver for Compkart. And then later that year, Compkart decided that, hey, they wanted to go race overseas as well. I was actually the first Compkart factory driver racing in the CIK FIA championships. And then, we had a good run over there for a little while, won a bunch of events here for them. And then we worked out a deal that I would be the number 3 driver for Kart Republic for a little over a year and a half, starting my first race here at SCUSA Super Nationals. That was my first race for Kart Republic. It was funny, actually. I was 14. You need to be 15 here to race senior. Maybe it was 16. I had a CIK FIA license that said I have to race senior, so I couldn't race junior, otherwise I wouldn't be allowed to race over there anymore. My license would be invalid. So I raced senior here at 14.
How was that experience?
To me, after almost a year of racing senior over there, it wasn't so different. It was just strange because I was already everyone else's height because I'm a tall guy. But
yeah, we obviously can't see you here on the podcast. But for people that, who don't know this, Michael D'Orlando, he's 6'3", right?
Michael's 6'3" is pushing. He's probably 6'4".
6'4"?
Four, probably.
And you're only 6 feet, right?
I'm 6 foot. Yeah,
that's good. That's a good thing. You could fit in these cars, man. Holy mackerel. Yeah.
So it was weird, definitely being the youngest, running around with guys with complete beards and stuff. But
that's true, right? Right? That's funny.
But it was good. And then, that jump started my season. I did two Flutterman Series events, and then I raced that whole season overseas. In Europe, it's a big thing to make a final. Like, that's what a lot of the kids want to do when they get over there. And I think with Kart Republic, I'm pretty sure I made every single final. Maybe there may have been one I did not make, but top finish was, I believe 17th or 16th place.
For those that don't know, the events in Europe in the WSK series and the CIK-FIA championships, there's 85, 90, 100, 110 entries sometimes in these races. And you're, like you said, you qualify, you run through heat races, and just being able to make the final is a huge accomplishment, especially when you race against all these factory teams. Now, so Nick, you do the karting program. You start looking into car racing. And the interesting thing is, I'd have to go back. I think you guys are probably the first brothers that we've had kind of come through the sport so close together, right? You guys are only a year apart. It's a year apart, right? A year and a bit.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting and unique thing, right? Because your brother's always that year ahead of you. He's getting into cars ahead of you. And listen, we know how expensive it is to go racing. I can't imagine your parents trying to figure out the budget for two drivers coming through the sport. But your brother's kind of gone forward first, right? He ran F4, then USF 2000. What did you do in 2020 and 2021 during COVID at that point? In 21, obviously, you raced FRP F1600. We'll talk about that. But in 2019 and 2020, what did you do, any racing at all?
I did nothing.
Wow.
I had maybe 6 days in a car over those 2 years.
Okay.
I did a couple. Actually, I did two F4 tests. Maybe one or two in 2019. And then I did a day in a USF car and a day in NF4 car in 2020. And then towards the end of 2020, I got my first seat in an F1600. But I can't say it was more than definitely under 10 test days in those 2 years.
That's wild, right?
I ran around for going to all of Michael's events and all the Road to Indy events. So I was still, involved with the sport, meeting people, getting to see behind the scenes, learning with the teams.
Good call.
Very, very limited seat time over those 2 years.
Tough being that younger brother, right? Because the older brother kind of getting the first run through everything, the investment getting made there. I know your parents doing a great job in terms of building the marketing around it, the business around of what you guys do. They work their asses off to find the funding and the partnership and everything that has to happen. But your brother going through first, this is why I think it was so good last year, what happened last year. Obviously, Michael into F4, then jumping into USF 2000, was able to win win there, and it's now going to come out as a contender in the USF 2000 championship. But last year, you ran F1600, and I'm a huge fan of the F1600 program only because I think it teaches a lot of really good racecraft. You end up coming out with the championship of winning, and that's a tough championship. Everybody knows that. A lot of great drivers, young drivers, some really talented veteran drivers that have been around forever that you get to go wheel to wheel with. I got to think it was very, very satisfying being, waiting for your chance for a full season and then getting out there winning, 12 races out of the 24. You had a strong season. You win the championship. You could kind of be like, you know what? I can do this too, mom and dad. So, you really, you know what I mean? For you had to wait, the investment's there, and then you deliver. That must have felt really good last year.
Yeah, I was definitely really proud of last year. Those 2 years where I sat, even though I wasn't driving really, I still got to learn. Because I was still at all the events. I was listening to Michael talk, giving his feedback to the team. And, I'm not able to sit with a team and go over data with them because, I'm not on the team. But I could secondhand learn and kind of see in from Michael or something like that. And it's interesting how much information really stuck in my head. that I was able to put to use in the 1600 championship in 2021. So I feel like even though I sat for 2 years, when I came into that season, I had almost like a step up on some of the younger kids right away. And sure, that kind of disappeared towards the end of the season. But, you know, as they grow, I'm growing too. So it was definitely an incredible season. You know, there's this one thing, this one small thing that I was a little bit bummed about.
What's that?
You know, Simon Sykes came for one weekend in Mid-Ohio, and he won all three races. And I was like, you know what? I was okay with that. Simon, you know, he's another very talented driver, and he's got some time at Ohio.
Exactly.
And, you know, we've seen him at Ohio on the road to Indy. He does a very good job. So,
but that was the one thing you look back at, like, damn, this guy came into our backyard and beat up on us. Even though the guy's run a lot of 1600, he's an SCCA national champion runoffs winner. You can use that, but I understand that this guy comes in cherry picks us. That's BS.
I was a little bummed about that, but you know, I did give him a good fight for the last two races. First race, not so much, but the last two were good. So yeah, I mean, he came in, won all three, and I, unfortunately, I was never able to do a full sweep weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was always two wins, and pretty much every single weekend it was two wins and something else.
Well, let's be realistic about Mid-Ohio too. It's one of those racetracks, as you know now that you've raced there, that's very unique in terms of the fact that if you like it, you like it. If you don't, some people hate Mid-Ohio, right?
It's just, I like it.
I love Mid-Ohio, but it's such an interesting racetrack, and you can see the drivers that do well there. Normally, you know, anytime they come there, they do extremely well. Now, so this is the cool thing now. So obviously you get your success last year in F1600. There's an opportunity for you to move forward. And I think that this is what I find kind of interesting, because obviously there was a potential, I think, for Michael to move to Indy Pro 2000, right? Finished second last year in USF. Logically, let's move forward. You win the championship in F1600. You know what, man? I could potentially move to USF 2000. The whole time this is happening, I'm thinking about your parents like, holy mackerel. So to move up to both those levels, the investment, so much more, of course, for Indy Pro 2000, big time for USF, literally probably for the price of the budget that Michael is going to run in the Indy Pro, you guys could both race in USF 2000 again and USF Juniors. You both probably could have moved up another spot. But I think the cool factor about the road to Indy, this is where you guys have played. I'm sure this came into a little bit of the discussion on where to run this year. Both those scholarships up for grabs right now. And you guys, you know, you two of you guys are going to come in as primary challengers for that scholarship. That's got to be what you guys are thinking, right? You want to lock down one of those scholarships.
Yeah, that's obviously the goal, is to go out there and try and win, you know, the funding for the next season.
Yeah.
So originally, yeah, we did plan that Michael would try to go to Indy Pro 2000. But, you know, COVID actually ended up hurting a little bit of our budgeting side. So one of our big sponsors, Design Build Collaborative, the guys on the side of the car, the big box logo. You know, they do construction in New York City. So with, you know, all the COVID protocols and stuff, it was a little harder to find projects. So, you know, they still put up for us and did a lot for us. And we're very thankful for that. But, you know, it's just hard to go put an Indy Pro budget in there.
I understand. So, listen, it's COVID. The COVID pandemic messed up with a lot of plans for sure. But I'm glad to see you guys kind of get to where you need to be and be able to still continue. Obviously, Michael's going to continue to learn where he is, and you're obviously going to take a big jump. Let's talk.
I was going to juniors either way. So
okay, my plan's
pretty good. I'm happy where I'm at.
I like to hear that. So let's talk about that plan. Let's talk about running with DC Autosport, with Cape Motorsports, Don Connor's program, very tight with Cape Motorsports as well. And you obviously had that opportunity to kind of be with them when Michael was running with them last year a little bit. So there's that connection now between you and Michael and everything, meaning you will be able to be in probably that debrief room now in USF 2000 when you're trackside at those events as well. How is testing gone? You've jumped into the Ligier. How is testing gone? Maybe give me the comparison between the F1600 car and jumping into the Ligier car that we'll have in USF Juniors this year.
So the F1600 car, as people may or may not know, without me in it, only weighs 990 pounds.
Yeah.
So that's quite light for, you know, a little open wheel race car. this F4 card that the Ligier weighs 1450, or I think 14, maybe 1420. So, you do notice that weight difference for
I bet.
sure. But that said, the F1600 produces possibly a little bit of lift going over 130, and the F4 does not.
That's true.
So it's definitely a stable race car.
Okay.
That is for sure. So it allows the driver to have a lot of high speed confidence, especially at Barbara Motorsports Park, going through that, or well, I guess it would be 12-13 complex,
Yeah.
11-12-13, that whole section there. It's a lot of confidence, and the car definitely backs you up. And the way these cars are have to be set up is actually quite similarly. A formula car at the end of the day is a formula car, and they're all quite similar. And the things that change the most as you go forward and as you go up is, your braking changes and your high speed confidence changes purely because you have downforce.
That's it. More downforce.
That's all it is. So cars are similar for sure, even though that weight difference is so massive. But the concepts of driving a formula car are still completely there. They're very apparent. So once you just get past that braking adjustment and that top end confidence, you're set to go.
Speaking of downforce and confidence, they're obviously going to be coming to play when we go to Ozarks International Raceway for the first time. Here's a brand new racetrack. They ran a World Racing League event on it last week, and I talked to Evan Stommer, who raced with your brother last year at Cape Motorsports, and told me he loves this racetrack. It's so much fun to drive. None of our USF juniors have been there to drive on it. There's never been a formula car, I think, on the racetrack itself. It's very high speed, a lot of blind corners. I think it's not on iRacing, so we haven't been able to do any sim practice on it as well. What are your thoughts going into the opener at Ozarks?
My thoughts are it's definitely going to be who can learn a track first,
Yeah.
at least in practice, because by the end of the weekend we should have enough track time where people will start to get it. But I think I got a little bit lucky, and it happens that I am older and I've raced in karts and cars or karts a lot longer than some of the kids I'm racing against, and I know a couple people. So my good friend Sam Paley has been there already in
I
an
saw
MX-5
the
Cup car.
video.
So I reached out, hey buddy, want to show me some things, talk about the track a little bit? And he was
Good.
like, absolutely.
All right. I
So,
actually watched Sam's video on YouTube. That's good.
oh yeah,
Yeah.
that's we kind of looked at that and went over a bunch of things. And
Nice. So you're feeling confident going in. That's awesome.
yeah, I know my lefts and rights by now. I mean, a lot of corners are blind, so that's quite interesting. I'm
That
not sure
is.
how we're going to find brake markers and stuff, but
Right.
we'll talk about that when we get there.
Yes, exactly right. I
So,
have no doubt the debriefs will be interesting. I know the lot of
yeah,
one of the big
absolutely.
things about USF Juniors as well is it's as a development program for the Road to Indy. Gabby Chavez, a former champion in Indy Lights and an IndyCar driver, who is going to be the driver coach for the series. There's going to be some ride-alongs with our drivers, with Joel Miller, the race director, who is obviously a professional driver as well. So a lot of opportunity for you guys to see the racetrack, not only with the track walk, but getting ride-alongs with the coaches as well. We've got to prepare you guys before we get on the track on
That
Friday
should be
for
good.
the open test day. Let's just wrap this before we jump into the kind of our get to know questions. What are your goals for 2022? I know it's easy to say that you want to win the championship, but having did what you did last year in USF, pardon me, in F1600. There are some strong drivers in the series this year. What are the goals for 2022?
So the clear-cut goal is, yes, to take home the championship and move up to USF 2000 next year. But realistically, you gotta realize it's all about how much you're learning.
That's it.
Because you can't go this year, not learn, and then go and move up. It's just not gonna work with how competitive that USF 2000 is.
Indeed.
And that car is a little different. So I think it's a little more complex. So your goal's gotta be to learn in the junior series, and that's what it's for. It's the lowest series. It's entirely designed to teach a driver and build up our experience and our racing knowledge. So ultimately the goal is to win, but I want to come out of this season with as much information as I possibly can and go attack my next seasons with being best prepared as possible.
Yeah, that's a great approach. That's, again, the reason why Anderson Promotions decided to start USF Juniors was to bring drivers not just into a place where they could race, but also into the USF 2000 Indy Pro and Indy Lights culture, right? The road to Indy culture, learn the how we run things, just prepare yourself better for the next year in USF 2000. All right, let's jump into this right now. This is getting to know Nick DiOrlando, who will be running this year in USF Juniors with DC Autosport. I've got a bunch of questions here. We're just going to have fun. This is where all the pressure's off now. We can have some fun now, Nick. Let's start with this. What's your favorite racetrack?
Favorite racetrack? Wow.
You think it was an easy question, but it's not because there's so many, right?
Yeah, there's so many places.
You can go carts or cars. I don't care either.
Like, I've heard a statistic. I don't know how accurate it is, but I believe there's over 800 racetracks in Italy. Like, I don't know how you choose.
In where?
Italy.
Really?
Supposedly, there's
That's
over 800
I've never
racetracks.
Heard that before. That's amazing.
I don't know how accurate that is, but I've been told that.
All right, so. you can throw whatever. Like, I always say, you can throw it two. If you want one, two, three, it doesn't matter. What tracks do you like?
I'm gonna go with Barber Motorsports Park.
Nice.
It's most of these tracks don't have that wow factor. I mean, some do for sure, mm-hmm. but you don't get this. Wow, this track's pretty cool looking. Then you also don't get this. Wow. There's a museum. This track is like it's just gorgeous.
That's
like
true.
You're driving around corners, like you're looking at spiders and a couple of them, right? You know, a crazy fan hanging off one of the gantries.
That's it.
So it's like you go around there and it's just like there's a surprise everywhere, like, you know, hiding. And the way that they keep that track in, like the condition they keep that track in, it's just amazing. You drive.
Yeah, there's a reason. Obviously, we're just past Masters Week, but there's a reason why they call it the Augusta National of Motorsports, right? It's just such a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's incredible, and the weather is usually good. I mean, I was there once where it was 23, but
I was too. That was cold.
That was pretty bad.
I think we did a spring training there one time. I had snow. That was an interesting day. All right, so let's go to this one here. What's other than the car you're driving right now? What's another type of race car that you'd like to drive?
That I'd like to drive. Well, you know, I can go out there and say the Indy car, but
or the F1 car, no. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But I think realistically I'd like to, well, I don't know how realistic this is, but I like classic race cars a lot.
Really?
I do. There's some rawness about it because there's no, you know, the engine's not thinking, which doesn't matter really so much, but the car is just designed purely to go fast and, you know, not really a care about safety.
That's
so it's just this little spaceship on, you know, old wheels. And it,
I like the term you use. Like you said it's the rawness of it, right?
Yeah, it's just the pure rawness.
Oh,
so like any old Formula car with a decent amount of horsepower, it's a small death trap, but it's got to be just amazing to drive.
Yeah,
just
you're
the
right.
Engagement with the car and drivers, probably.
And to think the guys used to drive those, like you look at the old Indy cars and stuff. The guys, they used to drive those at absolute, you know, breakneck edge of their seat when the safety just wasn't there the way it is now. Crazy.
Yeah. So one of those.
Do you have a racing hero? Speaking of that, do you have a racing hero? Like, is there somebody you look up to and say, you know, I love the way that they did this, or you know, or even now, like the way that they, is there somebody you say, hey, that's cool?
I think as far as the racing hero goes, not necessarily on track, but the off track approach and just the jubilation that always follows him, Daniel Ricciardo.
I like Daniel Ricciardo too. That's pretty cool.
You know, his persona is just, you know, it's incredible, and what he's done for himself with that.
Did you get a chance to race with him or drive with him at one point?
I did.
That's what I thought.
When I was racing for Comp Kart, actually, I was still racing for Comp Kart. The Ricciardo kart is, you know, it's a Buell. It's also a Freeline chassis. It's the same thing. They come from the same factory.
Yep.
So there was actually, I was told, hey, Daniel Ricciardo's coming to do, you know, a promotional day with Red Bull. He's going to drive his kart and stuff. So I was like, okay, do I get to go to this? And they were like, well, we need someone to break in his kart. I was like,
wow,
his personal kart. So they're like, yeah, yeah. So I was out in Castelletto, was the track in Italy, at the Red Bull event. I was there the day before. And I got to, you know, test and break in his personal cart. Fortunately, I'm tall, so I fit. We didn't have to adjust anything for him, which I'm sure he was happy about. But
right. No kidding.
We get to break in his cart, and then the next day show up to the track, and he's there, and then I've got a cart there too. So it was quite fortunate timing. I got to meet him. While he did all of his press stuff, I got to hang out on the side and, watch.
Yeah.
But then when he got a chance to go on track, he asked me, "Hey, do you want to go on track too?" I was like, "Absolutely.
Let's do this."
You don't get to go on a track with Daniel Ricciardo. So I was ecstatic when I was told, "Hey, do you want to go out there too?" Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. So I got to go head out there in another Ricciardo kart to drive side by side, race around a little bit. So
that's awesome. I know that he came to the SCUSA Super Nationals a couple years ago when we were at Las Vegas Convention Center. He's a guy that still races carts. And like you said, has his own branded cart from Burrell Art, the Ricciardo. Very, very cool. All right, let me ask you about sim training. Is it part of your training? Do you do a lot of sim training? How much are you on the sim?
Well, I don't have a sim.
There's your answer right there.
So it's not very often.
Okay.
However, a couple times I have flown somewhere or driven couple hours to go hop on a sim when we find that it is very important.
Okay.
So actually a couple weeks ago I think this weekend I'm doing it one more time. I'm going out to Indy and the Cape guys said, "Hey, we want you on the sim." So I'm gonna go out there, we're gonna learn a little bit on the sim, and I'll post about it. You'll see it on my Instagram.
We'll look on social. We'll talk about that at the end of the show, folks. If you're tuning in here, we'll make sure that Nick gives us all his social media channels so you can follow along. Now,
so I've been on a couple times, but not my main thing.
So we talk about sim training. One of the big things, obviously, I think, not so much at the younger levels, the more junior levels, but the higher you get up, the tougher these cars are to drive. What about fitness? I know it's a big part of a driver's training. What's your go-to exercise style? I know I see a logo on your cars. This will be an interesting talk. So what do you guys do? What do you do for training?
So, back home in New York, we have a UFC gym, UFC Gym of Mamaroneck. The guy that owns that, his name is Dean Bellatoni. We fortunately got to know him. He's a good friend of ours. The gym has decided to partner with us. So back home, we go there. Our membership is included in our partnership, and we get some clothes and some gloves and stuff. I got my gloves over here, actually, back at school with me. So when we're home, it's UFC gym, try to go 5 days a week, do classes with them, private training with them. Sometimes we have one of the trainers give us like a workout plan for the day or next couple days. Then we go and check back in. So when we're home, it's nonstop, all out UFC gym, UFC gym, UFC gym. Just because the boxing is good for your hand-eye coordination, and it keeps you moving. Good for body rotation, cardio, keeps your lean strength. And that's really important in these formula cars, especially when you're tall. You don't want to be tall and wide, so you got to stay lean. But now that I'm down here at college, our school has a gym, so we go to the gym. I got my boxing gloves from New York, and we have a couple heavy bags, so I go hit those very, very low weights, high reps, and then the school even has personal trainers and dietary trainers, so we've talked to a couple of them. We don't do anything, we don't have one, but we've we communicate with them, and we learn from them about how to better ourselves. So
with the USC deal, what you're saying is this should be a notice to anybody in the road to Indy that if something happens on the racetrack, might not be the best idea to kind of confront you on pit lane.
Yeah, I don't think that I'm the guy you want to pick a fight with.
I just want to put that. We had some NASCAR guys duking it up. Ty Gibbs was battling it out there, so. Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I don't think I'm that guy.
I don't think I'd mess with you. And your brother's 6'4", and you're 6 foot. You got a little bit of reach advantage there too. So, good to know. we're educating the people here, Nick. This is good. Speaking of school, you mentioned we didn't talk about that. 19. Where are you in school? And what are you taking right now? Anyways,
I'm at UNC Charlotte, in North Carolina. This is my second semester as a first year.
Good man.
So, not doing a whole lot of major focused things, but I'm actually switching to a was trying to switch to a business mararketing major because, you know, typically that's, you know, helpful for the motorsports world, especially as a driver, because our job is to market ourselves. We are our own business, right?
Yep.
So that's a smart choice. But I tried the mechanical engineering, and you know, unfortunately, I wasn't met with much cooperation from the school, which I guess is understandable.
Yeah.
But, you know, I never had that problem before in high school. They were always so supportive. So when I came here, and it wasn't, you know, the best course of action, you know, fall semester was doable because it's just a couple of testing days and maybe may or may not have the last race of the season, depending
Agreed.
On you know, yep. schedule. But this the spring season is all the testing and getting into the beginning of the season, it's just gone too much to do the engineering. It's such a high commitment at some of these
yep.
schools. The way they make the importance of it is basically impossible to do. They weren't very cooperative with that. But that's, you know, that's understandable. So I'm gonna work on you know, switching to a business and marketing major to better work on promoting myself
like
and stuff
it.
Like that.
I like it. Good call. All right, let's have some fun here. All the other ones I've done so far this year, we got a little bit of a little food run here because I'm a foodie. Let's say you're on a road trip with the boys. You're driving down the road. You know, you're going to the race. You pull off the interstate for lunch, dinner, whatever it may be. What's the go-to fast food stop? Are you like would you get fast food or do you go fast casual? Where are you going? Where are you driving into?
Wendy's every time.
Really?
Always a Wendy's.
What's the order?
My order changes depending on.
It does. But you're a Wendy's guy, right?
It definitely changes. But okay. I typically it's the number one they have is called Dave's Double, I believe.
Okay. You
know, the Dave's Double. Just typically lettuce, tomato, ketchup, and cheese. And
nice.
Sometimes not lettuce, tomato. And then I get nuggets, a large fry, and some sort of drink.
You're a growing boy. You got all that working
out,
right?
I need food, yeah.
Okay, again, that's funny you went that way because I get into this argument a lot. What's the best fast food burger? You're going to say it's Wendy's, right?
Fast food burger... I mean, if we're counting things like Five Guys, then
yeah,
it's that. But
yeah. You're into Five Guys?
Five Guys is good. Shake Shack is really good.
It is good, yeah.
But, you know, Wendy's is it's quicker. It is proper fast food. And
that's true.
As far as, you know, pre-made fast food goes, I'm pretty sure Wendy's the healthiest if I was to, you know, go with a healthy, yeah, right.
The healthy burger?
Yeah,
that's
sure.
right.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to pizza. Are you a thin crust, regular, or a thick style? Now, you're a New York boy, so you're probably like a New York slice, right?
You know, I'm New York. I'm New York Italian, actually Italian. So I like all pizza. But if I was to choose, probably a thinner crust guy.
Yeah.
You know, taste
okay.
more of the cheese and the sauce and stuff. That's what it's about, right?
I like this. We can actually talk because I'm a major pizza guy. Now here's this. I could probably predict this only because you're an Italian with the, you know, that little accent in there too. Pineapple on pizza? Yes or no?
No.
Emphatic.
no thoughts.
I love it. All right, last topic. Last one on the topic of food. If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
One food for the rest of my life.
We can go genre too, but
not that anyone needs this much carbs, but pasta.
You are Italian, like you said.
It's gotta be pasta. I had pasta last night. Actually, I had pasta yesterday twice.
All right. I respect that, dude. I 100% respect that. I love it. That's good stuff. All right, away from racing, what's your favorite way to spend a day off?
Favorite way to spend the day off? Wow, I don't get many of those.
Listen, that is the common right answer. I don't get many days off. Yeah.
You know, any time with my friends is quality time.
Like
you know, and of course my family too. But there's something, you know, it's a little different fun when you're with your friends. So I built up a good family of friends here at school, and
nice.
They're definitely some quality guys to spend time with. Even at St. Petersburg, two of my buddies came down to the race. You know,
nice.
They hopped in their conversion van and drove down, and then they drove us back. So
that's good.
You know, definitely spend time with my friends on my days off.
make sure to cherish those, dude, because literally I 40 years ago, 30 years ago when I was at college, I still have good buddies that from college that, again, you'll get this down the line in your life where you haven't seen them for 4 or 5 years, but the minute you're back together, it's like no time. It's exactly the same, right? That's quality friendship right there. I got a couple of guys like that. All right, let's wrap it up with this. Netflix, Apple TV, whatever it may be. Are you a streaming guy? Do you watch any stuff on Netflix, that kind of thing? What do you watch?
Well, I used to watch all the Disney Plus stuff when all the Marvel movies went on there, and then their series that came out. But I haven't actually watched TV in like 3 months, probably.
Wow.
two or 3 months.
Well, listen, you're racing. You're in school. You're hanging out with your buddies.
Yeah. I've got stuff to do, like go out with my friends and study. So I haven't been watching much TV, but I do like to go watch movies. So
yeah,
if something's out that I want to see.
You got a favorite movie? Somebody just asked me that question too, and I did exactly the same thing. I've been asking that question, but I didn't prepare myself for it. I'm like,
You said Draft Day. That's what you said.
I did say Draft Day on the Cooper Tire.
I watched that movie. That Team Cooper Tire and in the little live there. Yeah. I can't pick one, but I'm a big Marvel guy. I don't hate to admit it, but I'm a big Iron Man fan. So
it's a great movie. Those are awesome movies.
Those are top tier movies for me.
I love it.
But as far as movies go, I still go to ones that come out on theaters and stuff. Like
you can watch it on TV, but if you go to a great theater with great sound, oh my god, it's just better. It blows it. Some of the movies will just blow you away for sure. All right, listen, we wrap this up. That was awesome, Nick. Great stuff. Obviously, just about over a week away from getting things on track at Ozarks International Raceway for the opening round of the USF Juniors program, the debut of the series. Let's give you an opportunity to kind of talk about your people. Who are your sponsors? And then roll into social media. Who is it that makes it possible for you to be on the racetrack?
Well, people that make this happen, kind of start with mom and dad. Parents are a big proponent. My brother and I, we do our own little thing. But mom and dad's the big people. Dad's company, Focus Project Management. And then our main sponsors go into Design Build Collaborative, the DBC guys I was talking about earlier, Dino Luzzi Energy Drink, Rising Star Racing, UFC Jim Mamaroneck, we got Celtic, Pierpont, Eiffel, which is our friend Indian, that's what he likes to go by, those are our main guys.
Nice stuff. That's good. It's always great to be surrounded by the right people, the networking, the partnership. I love that. What about social media? Obviously, one of the things great about USF Juniors is if somebody's an NTT IndyCar Series fan or any kind of a race fan, F1, you get a chance to follow a young driver all the way up through the career, right? When they get to IndyCar, you're kind of invested in what you've seen over the earlier years. Like I always say, if you're a Newgarden fan, can you imagine when he was in British F1600 or came over here to Lights, whatever it may be? What are your socials? Are you Facebook, Twitter, Instagram?
Twitter and Instagram are very simple. It's just Nick D. Orlando. Mm-hmm. I made those the same for ease of finding me.
Yeah.
And then my Facebook is Nicholas D. Orlando Racing.
Okay. What about TikTok? Are you a TikTok guy?
I am not. I see some occasionally because they go through my Instagram feed.
Right. But
not a TikTok guy. My brother does have a TikTok.
He does have
a TikTok. So, if you want to follow my brother on TikTok, it's Michael D. Orlando something.
There you go. Well, listen, man, we're a week away. How excited are you? Ready to go?
I'm getting a little impatient here. Can't wait to get on track again. So
I hear you. Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining me, man. I do appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks, Rob.
Folks, that is Nick D. Orlando, who will run this year in USF Juniors with DC Autosport with Cape Motorsports. Strong team. And, of course, Nick, a very talented driver who will be a championship challenger right out of the gate. Again, things get started at the Ozarks International Raceway next week. What is that going to be, like April the 22nd to 24th, something like that? It's going to be a fun and interesting weekend. Of course, it'll be live on the Road to the Indy TV YouTube channel. A new USF Juniors app coming out soon too, so keep a lookout for that. But again, 18 to 20 drivers I think we're going to see at the opening round. It'll be a lot of fun. The future stars of the Road to Indy and the NTT IndyCar Series will be on track there. Thank you again so much, folks, for joining us for episode 39 of the Road to Indy Insider. My name's Rob Howden. Bye for now.